Hello, and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Karl-Heinz Lobel, who is Director and Principal Consultant for Regulatory Informatics and Operations at PharmaLex. He will be talking about ECTD 4.0. 10 years ago, after the ECTD 4.0 standard became available to be used for submissions to any ICH participating regulatory agency, we're now starting to see some regions move towards implementation. Karl-Heinz shares his knowledge and perspective on the journey so far and where we go to from here. Karl-Heinz has more than 20 years of experience in regulatory operations. He has built his expertise in data management and the electronic exchange of information with regulators, and he has been a constant contributor to shared industry or agency forums on digital data exchange for the past decade. Before we begin, please note that the information provided during this podcast does not constitute legal advice. PharmaLex and its parent company, Cencora, strongly encourage the audience to review available information related to the topics discussed during the podcast and to rely on their own experience and expertise in making decisions related thereto. Back to you, Karl-Heinz. Can you start by sharing a little background on the ECTD 4.0?
Yes, of course. As you mentioned in your introduction, the standard has been available for about a decade now. It was developed by the ICH, then named the International Conference on Harmonization, following the usual ICH development steps for new standards, and reached the final step, step 4, in 2015. By then, first experiences had been made with the use of the previous standard for electronic submissions, ECTD 3.2, which is still today the predominant format for such submissions, and ECTD 4.0 aimed to overcome some of the weaknesses of the ECTD 3.2 format. But ECTD 4.0 development was also embedded in several other developments of the time. There was HL7, Health Level 7, and RPS, Regulatory Product Submission, with the target to extend the scope of electronic submissions beyond those for medicinal products, for example, to medical devices, but also to any other kind of regulated products. These initiatives, mainly favored by the US FDA, go even back to 2008, and they all had an impact on the ECTD 4.0 that we see being implemented by some regulators today. Despite the long time for the development, the standard has been available for a decade, as I said at the beginning. Only in the last 2 years, the first drug regulatory agencies, the US FDA and the Japanese agencies, have implemented it.
Are there reasons why it has taken so long to get to the point of adoption?
Well, there are various reasons, and they differ by region. Of course, there is always budget, resources, and priorities when it comes to new or updated software systems and the processes around them. But the US FDA, for example, as it seems, they had issues with the development of their review system. The European Medicines Agency has been focused on higher priority initiatives, such as the implementation of the IDMP standard. This is the International Standard Organization standard for identification of medicinal products, and that had to be implemented in Europe as a result of an updated pharmacovigilance legislation. And also, while time moved on without ECTD 4.0, applicants and agencies and software vendors found and established workarounds to overcome the weaknesses of ECTD 3.2. or simply decided to live with the weaknesses. As a consequence, they developed a view that 4.0 wouldn't provide enough benefit to make the change worthwhile. And that point is difficult because it's really hard to realize the main benefits of the new format until it has been implemented. One of the most notable potential benefits often seen in ECTD 4.0 is the ability to more easily modify the overall list of documents and files allowed in the submission, the so-called table of contents, without updating the main standard itself. In the current ECTD 3.2 format, the table of content for the ECTD is largely static, except for the region-specific documents. any change of the table of contents would need the specification and software to be updated, which both are rather lengthy and cumbersome processes.
Thank you for that, Karl-Heinz. Can you explain why the new TOC format would be beneficial and how it differs from that in the ECTD 3.2?
So the version 3.2 table of contents of the ECTD is based on a structured static version of the submission that is inflexible. As such, it can't be updated or extended without a significant software change, especially lengthy approval processes by regulatory authorities and the ICH. We have seen in the past that even very minor modifications to the European Module 1 took years to be implemented in the European Module 1 ECTD specification, and then after that in the applicant's ECTD tools. And in those cases, ICH wasn't even involved, as it was a regional specification. Now, version 4.0 provides easier and faster ways to align the contents and the submission outline. For example, if new and unusual documents need to be submitted, for example, in connection with a health emergency situation or a modified review procedure implemented at the agency. Of course, such modifications are not without problems, as they would allow regulators in different countries to modify the harmonized standard beyond Module 1. And that could complicate submissions to different regions. And also, the content of the submission also must comply with what is laid down in the respective country's regional legislation. Perhaps it's the best way to describe the handling of the table of contents in ECTD 4.0 as somewhat like the index at the back of a book rather than a page-by-page listing of chapters and sections on the first pages. Instead of featuring the static and hierarchical table of contents at the beginning, 4.0 indicates where a given topic should be found in the table of contents and how and where that content is stored. Of course, you can still have a usual table of contents view in ECTD 4.0 as well, but it's not the only way to access the content. And other than in ECTD 3.2, the index can also list items from different books, so to say, so other submissions that are related to the current ones.
That does make sense. Thank you for that explanation. What other benefits does ECTD generally, and let's say, obviously, version 4.0 in particular, offer?
A general benefit of ECTD is its use during the post-authorization lifecycle. With version 4.0, there are now new opportunities to reuse documents across submissions and applications. This is particularly notable in Europe, where, for instance, its ability to identify the countries and applications for which individual documents are appropriate. Each document in ECTD 4.0 knows to which applications and submissions and to which agency it is applicable. This could simplify the handling of, for example, the mutual recognition and decentralized procedure variations, work sharing procedures, periodic safety update reports, or PSUR single assessment procedures in Europe. But of course, the full potential of ECTD 4.0 will also require national agencies in Europe to have a common submission repository for this to work. And this is a point that has long been debated, but never been fully budgeted by the national agencies to really create such a common submission repository. It is hoped that by adopting ECTD 4.0, it may finally be possible to convince the national agencies to implement such a repository.
There's obviously a lot to be said for the latest version, for version 4.0. Can you share any issues that the format might have?
One of the main criticisms of ECTD 4.0 is that the format does not readily support the so-called double-click access. while in version 3.2 documents could use the XML style sheet to directly display that submission's table of contents and then link to the individual documents, this is not practical to do with version 4.0, as the hierarchy of the documents is not represented in the backbone. However, even with 3.2, this double-click access was never really practical, other than for casual review, as a single submission backbone cannot display updates to a dossier over time. It always only provides access to the documents in one sequence at a time. Most agency and sponsor systems use the ECTD as a delivery message, especially providing instructions how to synchronize the dossier between both organizations.
We've talked about the slow progress of 4.0 and that adoption is beginning to gather pace. Can you share any developments that have happened with the standard?
Yes. So actually, last year saw quite a lot of progress. If we start with the US, the FDA began accepting ECTD 4.0 on a voluntary basis in September, with mandatory use projected for 2029. However, we do not have any adoption statistics from the FDA right now, and FDA has not updated any metrics for some time, so we do not know exactly how many marketing authorization applicants have taken up the new format and submitted in the new format. At the EMA, there is a bit more to report. In December last year, the agency announced a three-step plan for its ECTD version 4.0 technical pilot phase, starting with an invitation to software vendors in the first step to provide mock-up submissions in order to assess technical interoperability. Several vendors have compiled and submitted such pilot submissions so far this year, and these are now being evaluated by the agencies. It is expected that the second step of the pilot will go ahead, perhaps still in the second quarter of 2025. Again, mainly with the software vendors, but this time it is expected that the vendors will collaborate with marketing authorization holders in the preparation of ECTD 4.0 submissions. This part of the pilot will likely focus on mock submissions of simple scenarios only, the document management lifecycle, the handling of multiple file formats, a handling of pack sizes and manufacturers, review of controlled vocabularies, updated keywords, priority numbers, document titles, document use. So that's roughly the topics that the agency will focus on in that second part of the pilot. Step three will involve tool vendors again, marketing authorization holders, and the EMA, and it will begin once step two has been completed and will simply be an expansion of the of step two of the activities. Also, EMA has issued a lot of documents to support software vendors and also applicants with a new format. So there is a new draft version of the EU implementation guide, currently version 1.2, that was published in October last year. This guide describes also two scenarios for the use of ECTD 4.0 in European work sharing and absurd single assessment procedures. And additionally, the agency made an updated version of the ECTD 4.0 controlled vocabularies for Europe, and this has become available in January. Further updates to both might be necessary, depending on the outcome of the pilots, of course. Mandatory use of ECTD 4.0 is foreseen for applications in the European centralized procedure in 2027. And as I mentioned at the start, Japan has already made progress with version 4.0 and in fact already accepted submissions in ECTD 4.0 in previous years and is planning to mandate the use of ECTD 4.0 also for next year, for 2026.
Thank you, Karl-Heinz. Are there any complications impeding these implementations?
I think first it should be noted that the US and Japan are currently only accepting new applications in version 4.0. This is less of a problem for Japan since the lifecycle rules require a new application for most supplements or variations. But the limitation to new marketing authorization applications in the US will certainly slow down the adoption because sponsored companies will not be able to switch entirely to version 4.0 for their complete product portfolio. Furthermore, most ECTD submissions are actually made for lifecycle applications and not for new applications. The upside of this gradual adoption is that the implementation process should be easier for agencies and perhaps even for the sponsors, because existing systems won't need to figure out how to link between old version 3.2 documents and documents submitted in the new format.
Thank you for that, Karl-Heinz. Are there plans also to include lifecycle submissions in the not too distant future?
Well, this is actually the plan for Europe, for the EU, beginning with the pilots, which will also test the forward compatibility functionality. And this will allow referencing version 3.2 documents from previous sequences with new version 4.0 submissions. There is one capability that is foreseen in version 4.4, but which is not going to be implemented by any of the agencies right now. And this is the two-way communication. Two-way communication would provide a means of delivering review comments, inquiries, review status in the same ECTD 4.0 format over electronic gateways back from the agencies to the sponsor, and would enable the sponsors then to include that information in their ECTD tools to track the progress of their applications.
Finally, Karl-Heinz, can you share any expected progress in the coming year or beyond amongst other agencies and amongst sponsors and software developers?
Yes. So first of all, the best overview on agencies' progress is provided on the ICH website, where you can find a table showing the different regions and agencies and their planned implementation dates. According to the latest version of this overview table, Health Canada, Brazil's Anvisa, and Australia's TGA will all start ECTD 4.0 technical pilots still this year, and Swissmedic is expected to start next year. And of course, this table also lists US, Japan, and the EU, and that I already mentioned, and a few others. However, it's possible that some of these dates will be postponed. Actually, postponements have been a trend for most implementation dates in this table in the past. And in fact, if you look at the agency's websites, not all of them provide detailed or up-to-date information on their ECTD 4.0 implementation plans. For example, I think it's most likely that Australia's TGA will start a technical pilot still in 2025. The official announcement on TGA's website is for first or second quarter of this year, but we are already about half through of the second quarter now, and there is no update yet. From a sponsor perspective, we are likely to start seeing more significant adoption of 4.0, with the vendors being pushed by industry for software upgrades to support it. As sponsors are realizing now that it's time to prepare for the US and the EU and the Japan mandates of ECTD 4.0 and to get their regulatory and IT infrastructures in place and ready for that change. I think it would also be good if some organizations like the DIA, the Drug Information Agency, and the Regulatory Affairs Professional Society, RAPS, if they would continue to push agencies to adopt ECTD 4.0 and also to extend that across all the health product registration formats. Of course, there is also a certain risk, so the development in the US may be hampered by the US administration. The current leadership is less likely to create new regulatory mandates. However, it should still be possible to amortize systems and support costs across more agencies or agency divisions.
Thank you, Karl Heinz, for sharing your knowledge of the ECTD 4.0 and where the agencies and sponsors are with implementation. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. PharmaLex serves the pharma, biotech, and medtech industries, guiding our clients through the entire product lifecycle, from early strategic planning, non-clinical and clinical, regulatory submission processes, and post-approval activities. Please make sure you subscribe so that you can join us for future podcasts.